You're listening to More Than Good Food, where our goal is to have conversations with women about what it means to live a healthy life. I'm your host, Brooke Gordon, and this is episode 12. Joining me today is Dr. Sharon Brown, who's the owner of Sweet Eden by Sharon, a wellness education company and author of The Wellness Purpose Connection, the ultimate guide for maximizing your life experience. Sharon helps people relieve stress and related conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, anxiety, obesity, and cardiovascular disease through individual and group coaching, as well as courses and seminars. As a yoga instructor and certified health coach, she also teaches mindfulness practices that help you improve your physical, mental, and emotional well-being so you can live and work with increased joy and purpose. Sharon is on a lifetime mission to help people heal their bodies and minds so they can fully live their purpose with joy and vitality. Without further ado, joining me on the phone today is Sharon Brown. Sharon, welcome. I'm so glad you could join me today.
Thank you, Brooke. I'm so glad you asked me to be a part of your podcast. I'm pleased and I'm honored to be here. So thank you very much.
You're most welcome. So you and I met at a conference. I'm pretty sure it was last year in Arizona.
Sure was.
And it was my first time in Phoenix, and I was on a hunt for a grocery store so I could find some healthier food. And I remember recognizing you, and I was so glad I found someone who was on the same mission as me. So why don't we start there? Because I know that you are still on a mission.
Yes, ma'am. I am on a mission. And, you know, I just have to say, I believe that the people that we meet and come into our lives is definitely for a reason. So when I saw you in the Facebook group before and then we're just walking down the street and I'm trying to talk to Siri, asking Siri, where's this restaurant I'm trying to find? And there you are. And I'm like, hey, there's the lady that I talked to in the Facebook group. I knew that we were supposed to know each other in that moment. So I just always chuckle at that. That was an amazing moment. So I am on a mission. I'm on a mission to do my part to help heal folks, to help people in their process of healing their bodies and minds so that they can fully live their purpose with joy and vitality. And I know one of those ways, there are a number of things that we can be doing to heal ourselves, but one of those ways are through what we allow in our bodies, right? Our nutrition, the food that we let in. I know everybody wants to be either happier or healthier or wealthier, and we all have that place that we need to start from. But for a lot of us, that place is through what we allow into our mouths. And so, you know, as I talk to folks, often I hear, you know, where there is misunderstanding about what they are eating because of, I would think, because of what they read, because of all of the conflicting stories or the conflicting theories that are out there. And so I really enjoy helping people get clear about understanding what works for them, what type of eating style, what type of diet works best for them, and more importantly, helping them heal their body so that they can get rid of the ailments that plague them, whether it's, you know, type 2 diabetes or some allergy that's related to food, helping them discover what that is so that they spend less time treating and managing their condition and more time focusing on what they love doing and why they're here on earth, how they're here to serve. So that's my mission. That's how I choose to show up in the world, helping people in that area, and I'm enjoying it.
So one of the things you mentioned, sort of food types for people, and one of the misconceptions is about raw food. And I, in my opinion, I've seen it be played up in the media as a fad. And yet, you know, you and I think of a salad recipe and no one thinks anything of that, right? You know, you post a salad and everyone's like, oh, that's so healthy. But as soon as you say it's raw food, they're like, oh, no. So tell me, what does raw food mean to you? And why is it important as a part of our overall diet?
I love this question. So You know, I'm a very logical thinker. When I was younger and in school, I loved when we were in math class and we had to do logic problems, right? Because if one thing connects to another thing and it makes sense, then it just is. And I just love the idea behind that. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that because we've been eating raw food before anyone called it raw food. If you eat an apple, if you eat a grape, if you eat a salad, like what you said, we're eating raw food. And basically all that is the food is in its most natural state. It's in the state that's, how can I say, it's closest to just coming out of the ground, if you will. It's processed very little because, you know, everything, even picking an apple is some form of process. But essentially, there are no preservatives and there are no additives. And if there are some raw foods that have been heated up to some extent, but even with that, it's heated between degrees of about 115 to 120. And a lot of times it's typically happening in a dehydrator. And the reason why we keep the food so close to its natural state as possible is because the enzymes in the food are still intact. Now, some will debate and say, oh, that's bunk. We don't really need those enzymes because our bodies already produce enzymes. And that is true. However, you cannot argue the fact that the enzymes that come naturally in the food are also beneficial. And these enzymes that are left intact because the food is raw better helps our bodies to process the nutrients that are in the food. So we're getting even more of what we need out of the food to help our minds, to help us with our thinking, to help clear up our skin, make our skin glow and beautiful and acne-free, help our hair to grow better, help us to think better. And so, you know, I kind of answered both of your questions in one big lump thing. But basically, to sum it all up, raw food means the food is unprocessed and typically uncooked. These days, chefs are getting really creative with textures and taste and flavor, so we can do more than just eat a salad now, right? And so that's essentially what it is. And it's important because it helps to elevate our health, our wellness, and our well-being.
Well, I really like that answer. I know it was really sort of as an aside, it was really fascinating for me. Part of my journey has been managing high cholesterol. And one of the things that they recommended for me was a plant supplement, a plant sterol. And essentially, it'll help to lower my cholesterol by eating a more plant-based diet. And they essentially asked me to become a vegan. When I went to the clinic. Yeah. Which I thought was just so interesting. And essentially, you know, eliminating some of the foods that we cook tend to be meats. Not in all cases, you know, but in general. And so, yeah, that was sort of really interesting to me.
And you know, when you say that, you make me think of some of the ailments I suffered. Brooke, I want to say it was around, I don't know, 2006 or 2007, I went into a crazy acne outbreak. And there was nothing I could do. There's a product, I won't say its name, that is sold in the U.S. through commercials, and celebrities are on the commercials, and teenagers are on the commercials, and, you know, it's one of those where you enroll and you get your automatic shipment every day. Anyway, my point, I tried that product. I've gone to the dermatologist. I've gone to over-the-counter. I did everything. And I am telling you, I suffered with that acne for about close to a decade. And so much so, I just stopped trying to fight the acne. I just figured, you know what? This is how I'm going to live. I'll just have spots all over my face, and I just have to get over it. Beauty is on the inside, right? And so other things are going on in my life as well. Knee pain, joint pain, aches, bloatiness, just so much. And so I just decided one day that I just needed to just do a detox, and I did. And then during the detox, that was about 21 days, and during the detox, I decided at the end of the detox, I was going to eat raw for the next, I gave myself a number of months. And I wasn't, it was so amazing. One day I was just brushing my teeth and I just happened to look in the mirror and it was like just instantaneously the pimples were gone. I'm running down the stairs and I'm like, wait a minute. Where's the knee pain? And wait a minute, I'm running down the stairs. How is this happening? I was waking up in the morning with more energy. And you know, I used to hate when I would hear people say, "Oh, I have more energy." I would think, "Oh, be quiet." But I really did have more energy to get done in the day the things I wanted to get done. So I'm telling you, you know, raw food, the other word that we can use instead of raw is live. The food is still alive, right? And so I just want to get back to that question about why is it important. When we have food, quote unquote food, that can sit on a shelf for more than a week, up to a year, or even more than that, that is not food. That is a food product. That is some type of derivative of food, right? And it's not live, it's dead. So we're actually putting something dead into our live bodies. Don't get me wrong, I do, you know, eat some cooked food every now and then, like quinoa, but that's another story. That's about live and dead. But with regard to like starches that can sit on our shelves for a long time versus eating something like, you know, a sprouted grain, when the food is live, we are allowing the liveness of the food to mix with our alive bodies and boost our well-being even more. So, you know, I just think it's so important for us to incorporate this live or these raw foods into our diet, maybe even more than we do. And I just have to say one more thing. When I talk to folks, they say, well, I can't eat, you know, raw all the time. And my thing is not about eating raw all the time. It's just increase it. If you can make raw 50% of your diet, you know, there's some folks who, they don't even eat vegetables. I literally know people who don't eat vegetables. If you could just increase it, just by one extra meal a day that's live, like that'll make the world of difference in your life. So, you know, I can't stop talking enough about it. But yeah, I think it's very important, and I've seen it make a difference in the lives of folks I work with. Diabetes, I've seen folks get off of their diabetes medication because they chose to go raw for a certain period of time. It really is just very helpful and beneficial to our health. So being a fad, absolutely not. It is something we should all be more aware of, cognizant of, and bring it into our lives as much as possible.
So there were two things I heard in that just really stuck out to me as being normal. And one of them was, you know, not eating enough vegetables. And the other one was that whole idea of non-perishable food and how strong that is in our culture. I know for me, one of the hardest things is in my current role, I spend quite a bit of time traveling. And so live food is a little bit more challenging, right? You have to pack a cooler and have some stuff with you in some cases, not in all cases. But where it gets really difficult is any place that I go to, I would say the vast majority of food that's available is either a baked good or it's a sandwich. There's always some kind of starch component to it as being the primary thing. And it can be really awkward, even if you're out at a client meeting. So I'm literally out, you know, I'm either putting in a special order or I'm pulling apart pieces of my meal. I had one the other day where, you know, everything that was available was either pasta or a pizza. And so, you know, I'm personally a pescatarian, so I ordered the seafood pasta. I ate all the seafood and I picked around the pasta. And they came at the end and they're like, "Oh, ma'am, did you not like your meal?" And I thought, no, it's fine. I can't eat this much pasta. I'll be sick for the rest of the afternoon. So those kinds of things can make it really quite interesting. What was also really interesting is at that table, there was someone else there who was struggling with the menu as well because they were diabetic. And so when you have, or I'm just thinking, even if you're at a friend's house and they've made this lovely meal for you, or you're at a family gathering and you have this feeling that there's nothing there to eat. So tell me, I know that your clients come to you with these exact same questions. What advice do you have?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to be clear of something I said before. I said I've seen people come off their diabetes medication. I wanted to be clear, type 2 diabetes medication. I just wanted to go back and say that. But with regard to the advice that I give clients, first of all, Brooke, I'm so glad to hear that you advocated for yourself with how you chose to eat that meal. At the end of the day, that is absolutely what it boils down to. I had an experience, it was earlier this year, and it was the same type of thing. It was a meeting for an organization that I'm a member of the board, and so food was ordered, and so, you know, of course there wasn't much for me, so I just had to go with the salad, and I asked them not to place the egg on the salad. Well, guess what? They placed the egg anyway, and they sliced the egg, and so, you know, the yolk started crumbling throughout the salad. I did as much as I could to move it, because my thinking was, okay, Sharon, are you going to be that person, that really picky person in the room that says, oh, I can't eat this? Or will you just try to make this work? This is just one meal. You're going to go back home to your kitchen. And in the moment, I chose not to advocate for myself. And I said, that will never happen again. So what I did, instead of being that person who was really picky, I tried to move the egg as much as possible. And so I ended up eating a few pieces of the crumbles. And I am telling you, I was sick. I had to leave the meeting and go outside for a walk for about an hour. And if I didn't do that, it wouldn't have been pretty, because whatever was in me wanted to come out. And I did not want that to happen in that meeting. And in that moment, I decided, you know what? It's very important. No matter what, I will be that person in the room who looks absolutely picky. It is very important to stand up for myself, to advocate for myself, and to say, no, I don't eat this. And can you please help me with accommodating the way I eat? Or excuse me to find a place that will accommodate the way I eat. I just worked with a client recently. She just finished her first round of sessions with me. And one of her goals at the beginning was she wanted to be a leader in her life for how she ate, because she was always influenced by what her friends around her would be eating. So she might want to have a healthy choice, and her friends would say things like, oh, you don't need to eat that. Come on and eat this fried chicken with me, or what have you, things like that. And she was always succumbing to that. She was always falling prey to what they wanted her to eat. And she wanted to understand what was happening with her and why she couldn't stand up for herself. Well, you know, over time through the coaching sessions, you know, she got to her strength. And she was recently reflecting on what her biggest realization was. She had to get to a place where she said, I don't care. I don't care what other people think about my eating. I have to care about my own well-being and my future, because later on, when my son is married and has his children, which are my grandkids, I still want to be here for them. And if I'm laid up in the hospital bed because my arteries are blocked because I followed my friends eating fried chicken, my friends are not going to be there paying for my surgery. My friends are not going to be there laying in the bed for me. I am the only one that's going to be there. So since I am the only one that's going to be there, I have to be the one to say, I am taking care of myself now so that I have the future that I envision with regard to my health. So my biggest advice is you have to get to a place where you don't care. And when I say you don't care what other people think. You don't care if they think, oh, she's or he is that person in the room who's being really picky, or look at her over there who's that vegetarian, or whatever the thing is that people might say. You have to get to that place of I don't care, because your present self and your future self and possibly your children and your grandchildren depend on you having that much self-care for yourself. So, and you know, I will say too, one thing that's helpful is when you do know you're getting ready to go somewhere, checking with the folks who are organizing the meals, because oftentimes there's someone can accommodate you. The chef back in the kitchen can do what you need if you speak up ahead of time. Or like you and I did, Brooke, before we went to Phoenix, we researched places where we could eat. And then, you know, you just use your phone to help you get there. And then while you're doing that, you run into wonderful people like Brooke as you're finding your restaurant. But yeah, that's the biggest advice, really. You have to get to that place of, I don't care what other people think. My self-care is more important than what they think about how I eat.
The other thing I'll just add to that for myself, whenever I host dinner, because I love cooking, what goes in the email, you know, even if I'll ask the same people over and over again, do you have any allergies or aversions? And it always goes into the invitation, because the other piece is, you know, it can change over time. So, you know, I always want to make sure that I'm asking so that I can make sure that I'm feeding people something that they can eat.
You're so thoughtful.
Why, thank you, my dear.
Yeah, I wish more people do that, because I really, you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving here in the States, and it just bothers me when folks invite you over and they know how you eat, and there's not a thing on the table for you to eat. So that's another thing that I think about it. Like, I have a family reunion coming up, and I don't think most people in my family eat the way I eat. And so my thinking was, okay, rather than argue with folks or come with a Tupperware, why don't I be a part of the food prep committee? And in addition to making sure that there's food for me to eat, I'll be exposing my family to some lovely food. Like, for instance, I think a recipe I shared with you is the jerk cabbage. My family is Jamaican, so, you know, we love jerk. And so, you know, it'll be an opportunity to expose them to another way to think about how to eat with the flavors that we already enjoy. So yeah, so that's another thing. But yeah, you're so thoughtful. I love that.
Why, thank you, my dear. So you just brought up, first off, I love that your family has a food committee. That's fantastic. But for people who want to elevate their well-being, but maybe they don't feel prepared to go all in, and I don't mean just, you know, go all in by, you know, taking on maybe a raw food diet, because we had a bit of a conversation about that, but just in general, I know willpower and determination are huge parts of that. And in my current role, we just finished doing this fantastic personality test. And one of the things that came up for me is that I scored really high on things like empathy, but I didn't score very high on willpower and determination, which I know of myself, and now I have it on paper from some other specialist. But one of the things that really came out of that is that, you know, oftentimes those diets that you see or meal plans that you see, there's so much of it relies on willpower and determination. But if you're just beginning your journey, you know, in my personal belief and my own philosophy when I'm coaching others is small steps.
Yeah.
And so what is your advice to anyone who's listening, who's starting out on their journey? They've realized that, you know, oh, I'm actually probably not eating as many vegetables as I should. What could I do? What does that look like? What does that mean for me?
You answered it. Small steps. It's so important to just start where you are, right? Because so for some folks, they can go all in. They can say, I'm going for the gusto. I'm 100%. I'm in on day one, right? That's not everyone. And some people just have to start with, okay, you know what? I don't eat any fruit and I don't eat any vegetables. How about I start eating the apple at 10 o'clock every day, right? That's something I did years ago. And I just ate my apples every day at 10 o'clock. And then later on, I started adding my carrots. And at the time, I ate cottage cheese, which I realized after a while wasn't any good for me. But that's another story. And then that would be my afternoon snack at 2 o'clock. And then after a while, you know, I started experimenting in the kitchen on Friday evenings or Saturdays, with different, at the time I was interested in exploring vegetarianism. So with different vegetarian recipes. And then over time, just my knowledge and understanding of how to prepare food, how to prepare vegetables in a way that tasted well, delicious. It grew and it just became easier and easier. And so now when people look at me, they say, well, I can't eat how you eat. And I'm not trying to do all those things every day, right? And of course, I have to take myself back to a beginner's mind, because when I think of where I am right now, I'm thinking all those things, what? This is just the way I eat. This is just what I do. But it was over time that I developed these skills, and then it just became a natural part of my life. But to someone else who doesn't eat the way I eat, it looks like a big leap. So then that's where I have to take that beginner's mind. So I go back to the beginning. How did I start? How do I help my clients start? I help them start with where they are. So for instance, I'm thinking of one young lady who had several cups of coffee a day. Okay. So instead of that afternoon, instead of saying, you know, drop the afternoon coffee or drop the morning coffee, it's like, how about instead of drinking two cups in the morning and two cups in the afternoon, you drink one cup in the morning and one cup in the afternoon. And then after a while, we scaled that back to half a cup to where it got to the point where she didn't need that anymore. And then it was replaced with water. And then she started putting fruit in the water. And then we looked at the meals and, you know, we went to the grocery store together, and I encouraged her. I like to encourage a lot of people to try at least one new thing out of the produce aisle at least twice a month. And so, you know, for the first time in her 20 something years on the planet, she tried a papaya, you know. So I'm saying all that to say, in small steps, like what you said, one thing at a time, start where you are. And instead of trying to invoke the power of your will and then possibly failing, then feeling that guilt and shame and then giving up, instead of doing that, just start with one small thing. Can you replace the chips with an apple, or what are the other fruit that you like? Can you add a small salad to your meal, and then eventually over time the salad will get bigger? Just small steps like that. Examine where you are now and find the space or the opportunity where you can take your first small step. And after a while, your mind will want to go to the next small step and the next small step. And when you look back, you've taken a giant leap.
I love that curiosity sort of plays a role in that.
Absolutely. It does. I didn't even think of that word, but it absolutely does. You have to, I don't want to say have to, it would be ideal if you go into the store asking yourself, what's the thing that I can discover today? Particularly in the produce aisle. You know, I'm sure we've all seen something in the produce aisle that when we look at it, we think, what in the heck is that thing, right? There's a melon that I bought recently where I've just always seen it, and I thought, okay, I don't know what that tastes like, but I'm taking it home. Now, I took it home and I didn't like it, but at least now I can say I know what it is and I don't like it. And even if you don't know what to do with it, you could take the curiosity online. There's this place called YouTube. There's this other thing called Google. And all you have to do is put in how to prepare thus and so, whatever that thing is that you picked up in the market. And I'm sure there'll be tons of people online waiting to help you figure out how to do that. So, yeah, curiosity is definitely a part of it. And you have to just say to yourself, I'll try it. I mean, it's just one time. What will it hurt, right? And then you might actually find something that you enjoy, as that has happened to me more often than not, finding new foods that I enjoy that were unfamiliar to me before. So, yeah, curiosity.
One of mine actually was a salsa recipe that called for jicama. I had no idea what it was or what to do with it, and man, was it ever delicious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really nice sort of crunch texture. It was a mango, red pepper, jicama base in the salsa.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you can just
I'm gonna need that recipe, bro. That sounds good.
I will send that to you for sure.
Okay.
The other thing I want to just quickly add to that is, so when I first got first met my spouse, his skill set in the kitchen was pretty limited. And so one of the things that we did is we actually went to a class. I don't know if you have this where you are, but our local grocery stores often will offer cooking classes at a really low cost.
Oh, wow.
And so we went to a knife handling course. And it changed everything, because now, you know, I sort of joke with him that he's my sous chef. But it really made a huge difference being able to be comfortable using a knife in the kitchen. knowing how to use it, knowing how to sharpen it, not being afraid to use a sharp knife. These were all just small things that made the prep so much faster. So I'm going to toss that one out as one of the steps as well, just to maybe think about.
Yeah, that is definitely something to think about. Mm-hmm.
Now, totally flip side, in the mail last night, my book arrived.
Oh my God! It just got there!
So, and I love that you wrote the book on a topic that I know, you know, we've been talking about and that you're passionate about, the wellness purpose connection, the ultimate guide for maximizing your life experience. Yes. And it is such a great title because who doesn't want to maximize their life experience?
Right.
What I also particularly liked is that, you know, in the introduction you have in there the caveat, this is not a woo-woo or new agey thing. It's backed by science and it's real. And that just spoke so strongly to me because you probably know my background is sort of on the engineering science side. So that was just beautiful.
So
tell me a little bit more. Why did you write it and how do folks get a copy of for themselves?
Can I just love my own stuff right now? Mm-hmm.
You can, my
I love why I wrote it. So I remember the morning, I vary in how I tell the story, if were angels talking to me, if I was lucid dreaming, if it was my intuition coming up, but I remember waking up and hearing something, you know, like when you hear someone calling you in the background, far in the distance, and you're like, I think I hear my name, but I'm not sure, and it was like, I was hearing something while I was sleeping, and it was far away, and it was coming closer and closer and closer until it, like, came right up on me, and then I heard the wellness purpose connection. And then there, this conversation ensued in my head, and basically I said to me, you know, what's that? And then it just started breaking everything down. It, the voice in my head, the other voice, I'd like to think that was spirit, started breaking down what it was. This is wellness. These are your purposes. This is how it's all connected. This is what can happen once, if you're not living your purpose, if you're not balanced spiritually, if you're not balancing your well-being. And it just, I'm telling you, it just all unfolded. And as I was waking up, like the conversation was ending. And what I heard was, when you get up, write this all down. Brooke, I was in my pajamas in front of the laptop. I didn't do anything. I didn't drink my tea. I didn't do anything. I went straight to the computer and I just started writing. And I just wrote until it all came out of me. And then as I was writing, you know, the thought came to me to make it into a book that is accessible to all. I love reading books. I have hundreds of books, but, you know, we don't all get to read all of our books all the time. But when you have something that's a nice, concise message size, the chances are, you know, it's less intimidating. People will think, oh, I can knock that out in an hour or less. And they'll read it and they'll get the message. And, you know, my hope, still on the why, my hope for folks is when they read it, that starts a conversation in their head for themselves about how their spirituality, how their well-being, and how their purpose are all connected. The book even gets into, are you even living your purpose? And oftentimes we know we're not living our purpose when we are miserable with the thing that we do for 8 hours a day, just called our job. And so there's just this whole interconnection between, if you're not living your purpose, how that can impact your spirituality, how that can impact your well-being. If your well-being is off kilter, how that can impact you living out your purpose. If your spirituality is off kilter, how that can impact your well-being and your purpose. So that is my gospel that I am here to spread on the earth, at least at this time. At this time of being. So that's my why. I really want to help people start thinking about those elements in their life and bringing them into alignment. You know, another thing, you could get me talking all day on this topic. Another thing is I love to see and hear when people say, I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I love my job and how I'm serving in the world. And it breaks my heart to hear when people say they don't love what they're doing, or they don't like their job, or they have this passion that they want to pursue, but they can't seem to find the time. And so, you know, even though I provide health coaching, the health, it's not just about food. Well, it's not just about the food on your plate. It's also the food that's off of your plate and how it's informing food that's on your plate. And one of those things is your career, which connects back to your purpose. Another one of those things is your spirituality, which, you know, all of it is just tied together. And so, you know, everything that I just said in the last, I don't know how many minutes, bro, is just pointing to this. I wrote that book because I want folks to start the conversation where they start to examine their life, their purpose, their spirituality, and their well-being, and asking themselves, am I here serving in my role that my soul came to serve in to the fullest capacity that I can? And if not, what can I do about it? That's why the book is written. Now, the other thing that I decided, at least for right now, is I'm just giving this book away. as a matter of fact, I just left a conference the other day for women. And during the networking portion, I was just giving my book away. I gave away about over 100 copies. And I also give them away online. The only difference with online is that I asked folks to, you know, pay for the shipping so that I can get it to them. So the way they would get, is it okay for me to say how they would get it?
Sure thing.
Oh, sure. Okay. So the way they would get it is they would go to my site, Sweet Eden by Sharon. That's SweetEdenbySheron.com. And when they get to my site, there's a tab for resources, and then the drop down says Books by Sharon. You go there, you click on the PayPal button, you pay for the shipping, and then the book gets shipped out to you. So that's how they can get a copy.
Amazing.
Or I'm just gonna bump into them on the street and I'll just give them one.
So I'll make sure to include that in the show notes.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
No problem. That is so generous of you. One of the things that I actually really love, there's so many people who, you know, are giving things away in digital copy. And I loved that I got a book. Like, I got something tangible. I can put it in my purse. You know, I haven't finished it yet. I'm not going to lie. But that's my goal for my lunch today, right? I'm going to go, we've got a beautiful little pavilion outside my office. And so I'm going to go sit out there and I'm going to enjoy it. And I just love that it's paper, right? It's like real tangible book.
Oh, awesome. Well, let me know if any of your peers, as you're out on the pavilion, read it, because if any of your peers would like a copy, because I'm really serious about getting the book out there in as many hands as possible. And I love when you say you can carry it around in your purse. That's right. I want you to carry me around with you, because that conversation is a very important one that we, you know, we need to have with ourselves and get ourselves in alignment so that we can have that fulfilling life, living our passion and our purpose that our souls came here to serve in. So, yeah. Awesome. Oh, thanks for that feedback.
So I'm going to also have some copies or links to, because you're on Facebook.
Yes.
You're on Instagram. Is that right?
That's right.
And also you've got more than one website.
I do. I have another website that's like a hobby, so I don't get to it as much. I want to. And it's simply SharonBrown.com. And it started as my own personal journal for my own soul's transformation, where every day I would blog about an I am statement and share a story, an inspirational story or what have you. I haven't been to it recently as often as I'd like to, but I do go back to it from time to time and add a new inspirational story. Yeah, so that's SharonBrown.com, and everything on there is an I am affirmation with an inspirational story to go along with it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. So I'll have links to that as well. And then you very graciously shared a delicious recipe of Jamaican-inspired rice and peas.
Yes.
So I am looking forward to being able to share that with everyone, because, oh my gosh, the picture just looks fantastic. I was like drooling earlier.
Thank you. It is so delicious. Like I think I already said, my people are Jamaican. So when I do raw, you know, I think about, okay,
what are the flavors I already love and how do I bring that into raw recipes? So yeah, that Jamaican inspired recipes. I played around a long time to find a flavor that I enjoyed, and that recipe that I shared with you is one.
It is my lunch next week. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Let me know what you think after you try it.
I will, for sure. So before we wrap up today, I have a question for you.
Okay.
No stress.
All right.
What is your favorite vegetable? Have we lost you? Oh, you're having to think on this.
Yes, my favorite vegetable. Oh my God. Well, if you said what was my favorite food, I'd be like, bam, I have the answer. My favorite vegetable, I'd say what's the vegetable I eat most often, probably every day, is kale in some form. I love kale because of all the nutrients in it, like protein and calcium, and I mean things that folks don't even realize is in kale. And I love it because you can put it in smoothies and it's not bitter. I love that you can massage it down with, you know, olive oil and minced garlic and nutritional yeast and a little bit of apple cider vinegar, and you just have a wonderful quick snack. Kale, it's very versatile. I love that can be a part of a salad. I love that you can make it a part of a Buddha bowl. I guess maybe I do have a favorite vegetable. It's kale, huh?
Love the passion. I'm going to ask you a quick question. What is a Buddha bowl?
Oh, a Buddha bowl. So I kind of, you know, they have rules to how this Buddha bowl thing works, but if I'm not mistaken, a Buddha bowl is a mixture of different elements to ensure that you're getting the maximum amount of nutrients you can get out of a meal. And so it tends to have a whole grain in it, like say quinoa. It tends to have a vegetable. There tends to be a protein. Oftentimes you'll have an avocado in there for your healthy fats. That's the basics. You can add as many things, and then you just lay it all out nice and pretty in a bowl, and you just go and eat. And you're getting all the variety of foods that we have all in one bowl. As to why it's called Buddha, I am not sure.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. I'm so glad you could join me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brooke. I really enjoyed being here with you, and I appreciate our time together. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of your podcast.
My pleasure. You have a great day.
You do the same, dear.
Thanks for listening today. Be sure to check out the show notes for details about how to get in touch with Sharon, and there you'll find links and offers that she has for you. You can find those at morethangoodfood.ca/E12, and that's the number 12. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you're looking for more information. I know she'd be glad to hear from you. If you have a suggestion for me for an upcoming show, you can reach me at podcast@morethangoodfood.ca. I would also be grateful if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate us on iTunes or Google Play Music. Your rating and reviews help to make it easier for other women to find us. Until next time, remember that living a healthy life is about more than good food.